How you guys doing? Good to see you guys. Well, I'm Ethan Cornett, and my wife and I had the privilege of going to a conference last weekend. The Wares went as well to the All Generations Conference in Dallas. And what that was, a youth and family ministry conference we were able to attend, and it was an incredible time. I can't even begin to tell you. Ask us after service. We can go a lot more. But I want to share a little bit with you guys this morning what it was about. And, I got the clicker today. Okay. Before we begin, let's continue worshiping God together in prayer. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you this morning and we are blessed to be your children, God. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into your family. God, we're grateful for the way you view family, the way you treat us as your family. And God, I pray that we can just begin to scratch the surface to understand that and apply that to our lives more and more. Father, we pray this morning that you feel glorified and honored through our worship to you, through the giving, through the singing, through the praying. Father, we pray this morning as we talk about your vision of family, God, that you can open up our hearts and our minds to your way of thinking. Father, please get ourselves out of the way. Any distractions or anything we've experienced during the week, Father, that we can set that aside to focus on you alone this morning. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm glad I got it on my phone. I like making slides, so hopefully all my animations are correct. I'll be pretty excited if that works. So the theme of the conference was All Generations. And that's the idea. Youth and Family Ministry, unfortunately, for a long time, we say youth and family. What's the ministry within that gets the most focus? It's the teens. That's just the youth part. That's not even all of the youth. And so what this conference did is it really talked about the significance of a whole family ministry in the church. And so I just want to share a little bit of what we learned and some things and hopefully inspire you this morning. And at the end, maybe we could talk about how it applies to us specifically here in Wichita. So let's get rocking. Okay, can I get some help with the PowerPoint? So the vision for youth and family ministry, I think that's significant to talk about. Click it off and click it back on. I'm getting nothing. Okay, that's cool. I can talk about it. You can listen. The vision for youth and family ministry, we got to start before we talk about what we think. We need to go to what God says. Amen? So if you got a Bible or sit next to someone that has a Bible, why don't you scoot close to them? Leave room for Jesus. And go to Genesis 2. If you're at Sunday school this morning, you already know what's up. Because we talked about this. The church as a family. Genesis 2. Verse 18, hey guys, we're going to read a lot of scripture this morning, so hold on, all right? Chapter 2, verse 18, I'm just going to read part A here. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I got to make a helper for him. It's not good for man to be alone. These are the first inklings, the first understanding that people, humans, need family. We need relationships. We were not meant to live alone. After this, you can read, God made the animals, and it's like, that still wasn't working out. Adam had to have another person. Had to have a family. Amen? Go with me to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Amen. Hey, we'll get there. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a blessing. This is God talking to Abram. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham's family will grow to be a blessing to other families on earth. So off the bat, we see God's promising blessing through families. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4:16. This is why the promise is by faith, so that may be according to grace, to guarantee it all the descendants. I'm borrowing my brother's Bible. It's got a real small print, man. Let me tell you. Not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of Abraham's faith. He is the father of us all. Abraham is the father of us all. Doesn't mean you have to be born Jewish. But because of your faith in God, you get to be a part of that family of blessing that was talked about back in Genesis. Amen? And as if that wasn't enough, let's go to Acts. We going too fast? I mean, we got to get after it, right? Acts 2:42. You know this. Ah. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking God, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all the believers were together and held everything in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. We love that part. We love to talk about, amen, God is adding to their number, but how is that happening? Because they're living as a family. Amen? God's vision for the church has always been to be a family. Always. If you're going, what? 9 a.m. Sunday morning, we're going through a series right now called Life is God's Family, and it's all about that. I invite you guys to come. There's my shameless plug for that. So we've got to focus first on what God defines as family. I wanted to share that with you because that's important. And before I share what we learned at the conference, I feel like we need to start there. Amen? Amen. And so a part of the vision for youth and family, it's a whole church process. We are a family. In essence, the church is youth and family. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. In the church, you probably, for most individuals, you'll spend most of your life in the youth and family ministry too. Whether, especially if you're a kingdom kid, man, you spend 13 years in it, spend a little bit of time maybe, you know, doing what you do. And if you have family and kids, guess what you're back in? On the other side. And so I wanted to share, this was really cool when I saw it. For me anyways, maybe this will speak to you. About the structuring for youth and family ministry, a brother and sister from Chicago that lead the youth and family ministry up there, Chris and Heidi Ammons, they structured their youth and family ministry like this. This isn't new, and you've probably seen this before. But they have Kingdom Kids, K through 4. And the focus for Kingdom Kids is family, is strong relationships at home, spiritual leadership and responsibility by the parents. Think back to Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11. That is the foundation of youth and family ministry. It starts the family, it starts with the parents. And they start it with that. They start from the cradle, really. And continuing to look at that, then they got preteens, 5 to 6. That's the time period to focus on having friends. That's the time to get our kids in grades 5 and 6 to be rooted in great friendships with good people for strongest friendships stemming from inside the church community. And the whole, you've heard the proverb, bad company. Yeah, I don't even have, you know what it is. Young teens, 7th and 8th. That's the time to build faith. That's the time to start building a foundation of faith and understanding God's character. Sorry, guys. There we go. That's this time to start pulling in mentors. You don't pull in mentors, then the parents. The parents have been there. The families have been there as a foundation. And then the friendships are added onto that. And the faith is being added on that. Imagine how strong our kids' faith would be with the prior foundations of family and friends. But often we try to do it backwards. And then teens. Teens ought to be the fruit of all of these things working together. Teens, and it's the future as well. This is the time, the beginning of a reaping. The beginning to reap the benefits and the work of previous ministries going all the way back to Kingdom Kids. And looking forward and building towards adulthood and spiritual maturity. Amen? Amen. Does that make sense? This gave, when I saw this, I'm like, man, this is such a wonderful vision. Can you imagine? And the encouraging thing is, church, we've been doing this. We've been doing this. Amen. And so that's the vision for youth and family ministry. And I wanted to also share with you guys, this is the flyer they had out. The theme was Equip. All Generations is the name of the conference of the year. This theme was Equip. And so I wanted to share with you guys what the main points were. You can absolutely, I think they're going to post them online so you can listen to the messages yourself so I don't have to share that all with you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to summarize, guys. This is really cool stuff. Equipped to Lead was the first lesson. That was by Chris Ammons from Chicago. And some of the things he said that were so important, that the youth and family ministry is the heartbeat of the church. And if you think about it, it really is. There's no other ministry in the church that reaches more lives for a long period of time. Youth and family ministry is the heartbeat of the church. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. In this message, he was equipping those who are leading the teen ministry and the youth and family ministries. But if you really think about it, if you're in it, you're kind of leading it, aren't you? Starting with yourself. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, and this is a familiar one to us as well. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists for the work of ministry. Oh, I skipped a line, huh? Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith. In the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by God's fullness. Excuse me. So what are we trying to accomplish? Youth family ministry. That was a question that Chris posed. And what we're trying to accomplish is answered in Ephesians. It's about growing towards maturity together. So that was on Friday night. On Saturday night, I don't know if you've heard of a brother named Phil Arsenal from Boston. It sounds like he's from Boston too. This brother's a trip to listen to. Equipped to Grow was his lesson. And that lesson was all about growing together and growing to last and growing now. And a thing he shared that I want to share with you guys is he said, imagine if all of our kids in the church became disciples. What impact that would have on our church community. To really think about that. And to allow yourself to be convicted by that and humbled by that. And then Sunday morning, the lesson was by Damon Curtis from Houston. I was equipped the saints. Excuse me. And his, you like how those numbers turned out? The church is an ecosystem where families nurture families. And building community begins in the home. I can't begin to express to you guys how powerful and how impactful these lessons were. I'd strongly encourage you guys to go online. It'll be on the DFW Church website. Check out these lessons, okay? I just want to give you guys a little snippet of it. So what does this mean for Wichita? When we talk about equipping Wichita, how does that translate to us? This is what I want to share with you guys. Some ways that maybe I've seen or I've heard other people see things that we can really do to light a fire under our hearts, all right? Excuse me. So equipping Wichita. Let's look at the heart of Jesus. If we can turn to Matthew 12, Starting in 46. She's getting some already. And you can read up here if you want to. It says, this is Jesus speaking. While he was still speaking with the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak with him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you." He replied to those who were speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, or my brother, my mother, my brother, my sister." You get it? You get it? Who is your brother and sister and mother? Do you view family the same way that Jesus viewed family? Do you view family according to the way God has promised family? Amen. Talking about family. And if you don't, what's holding you back? Share a passage out of 1 John 4, verse 20. Let's turn there. I said we're going to look at a lot of passages, right? 1 John 4:20. Teens, does this sound familiar? Okay. If anyone says, "I love God," and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. The way we view God, I'm sorry, the way we view and treat our family and God's family affects our ability to have a relationship with God. How many of us have run and hid and made every excuse to not deal with what's going on in our families? And then we don't understand why we can't feel close to God, where God feels far and distant. It's probably because you're far and distant from your family. Okay? And there's different circumstances. I get it, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. We've got to fight against the current. Let me get this picture up here. We got to fight against the current, guys. Where it is. There it is. Yeah. I think Mark was talking about this in his communion. One of the best examples that was shared this weekend, at least in my mind, the way I think, is Damon Curtis from Houston. He said, think of your favorite TV family. And he said Brady Bunch. I tried that with the teens. They don't know who Brady Bunch is. Think of your favorite TV family. Now, why are they your favorite? It's Brady Bunch. You know, whatever else. I don't know. Seventh Heaven. What was the name of that family? I don't even know. Family Ties. Family Ties. Uh-huh. Come on now. See, you guys are going. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So this is the way we start to view family in our mind. We have a problem. And within 22 minutes, we've solved it and we love each other again. And it's all perfect. Right? Wow. That's a vision that we get from TV and from movies. How does that affect the way we view our family? Man, my things didn't get worked out in 22 minutes. We got to fight against the current, guys. We got to be aware of the culture around us, how the culture around us views family, treats family. We've got to fight against that.
That's right.
The things that pull us away from our family within our household and the things that pull us away from each other in God's household. Again, Mark led a lot to that. Man, whether it's stuff going on with our kids at school or sports or work we got going on, or, oh man, we can get so split, and it's so easy to get entangled and pulled into this busyness, busyness, and busyness. But again, Jesus said, those who believe in God, they're my family. They're number one, they're priority. So what does this mean for us? I just got a few practicals, maybe takeaways that I got from the conference, and I want to share with you guys, okay? So Equipping Wichita, I got three of them. It's easy. One, I think something that would benefit us, that would behoove us. There's my professorial word for the day. Behoove us. The youth and family ministry has got to begin at the cradle. If we're trying to figure out our kids having relationships and strong relationships in the home, strong relationships with each other, by the time they're in high school, we've lost. We've lost. It's got to start at the cradle. And parents, it starts with us. It can even start before the cradle. I remember when Marissa was pregnant, and some input I got is like, Ethan, start every night. Read to her belly, read a book, have some time together as a family. What? It starts right away. And it can't stop. Something I see within just as a teacher is we can start off strong. Parents can start off real strong. Go to elementary school on conference night, man, that place is popping. And the elementary teacher will be disappointed, like, man, my class of 23, only 18 kids showed up with their parents. Man, really missing out on that five, which that's a big hit, right? Dude, I got close to 180 students. I'm happy if 20 come in high school. And that's not just my school. There's something that happens over time as our kids get older. We just start to kind of. Did you talk to my kid about this? Well, did you know this was going on? Could you help them with that? It starts at the cradle, but it doesn't end. We got to keep going, right? Another takeaway that I got was quality over quantity. Quality over quantity. It's not about having all the relationships in the world. It's not having about your schedule being packed full with, man, I got church stuff going on every night. What's the quality of what you're doing? Are you engaging and putting your heart into what we're doing? I'm telling you, just an example. I'm just speaking out of our lives, amen. And you know what it is for your life. We got homework night for teens. That's a cool thing to do. But that's about quality over quantity. We don't care if everybody shows up. That'd be great. You guys can come out too. One person comes out. We go. We have a good time. We do our homework. We talk. It's about quality over quantity. And the last thing I believe that would help equip our youth and family ministry and that we need help with is all hands on deck. We need all hands on deck. We need everyone involved. And I'm going to be super real with you, church. Super real with you. I see the same 8 to 10 people volunteering for everything. For everything. I see the same 8 to 10 people moving around the church, serving, 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 serving. And you guys have heard it before, 20% versus the 80%. You know that whole thing, 20% doing, 80% of the work. We need to flip that. We need to have 80% of people on board. I don't care about numbers. You can put out any number you want. Guys, we need all hands on deck. Imagine the vision of all of our kids becoming disciples. In God's time, amen. But it takes all hands on deck. Amen. Just a few takeaways I had personally that struck me, I want to share with you guys. Amen. I hope this is encouraging to you. I would encourage you to go to the DFW Church website and listen to these lessons. Okay? Let's pray together and we'll continue worshiping God. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We continue to worship you when we say thank you. Thank you for your idea of family. Thank you for your idea of the church being a family. God, is so hard with our 21st century
Western mindsets, to break away from our preconceived notions of what a family ought to be. God, help us to be in line with you. And Father, I pray this morning that you work within us in a powerful way, not just for the youth, but for the youth and families, God, in this building, in this neighborhood, in this city, God. We pray for Wichita to be a city of families that know you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.